Michelle Lee's latest, Knowing When to Leave.
Morgan here from Monitor with a report coming up on a multi-million dollar operation, the use of third-class mail by commercial advertisers. First, a hint for improving your coffee break.
This is Don McNeil. One thing I discovered talking to women on the Breakfast Club, tell them company's coming and they'll rush out and buy the best of everything, the biggest olives, the best steak, and real cream for the coffee, right? Yeah, but a while back, hundreds of gals made a taste test of the new Preem, P-R-E-A-M, and most of them actually thought Preem tasted even better than cream, had that fresh cream taste. No wonder so many women say as long as there's a jar of Preem on the shelf, company's welcome.
A thing of shapes to come.
Say something.
Sucro.
Oh, that's sweet.
All we have to fear is fat itself.
You want to avoid extra calories? Sucrol's the thing. It's America's leading no-calorie sweetener with a patented made-to-taste-like-sugar formula. Get the real thing. Sucrol, the sweetener with a patent on good taste.
Sweet power!
A great deal of the mail we get consists of advertising, fundraising, political campaign literature, and the like. All these are sent as third-class mail, and a lot of people find it annoying. But third-class mail is likely to be around for a long time because it's important to the national economy, as we hear now from Mr. Henry Hoke, publisher of Direct Marketing Magazine.
Mr. Hoke, as publisher of a magazine dealing with the uses of direct mail, do you have some figures on how much of the total mail volume is third-class mail?
Yes, just 20%, and that's not all direct mail. A third class is a catch-all class of mail in the post office. It's everything that's not first class.
How much income does this represent to the government?
Oh, about $800 million a year.
Really money-making for the USA.
Yes, sir.
What would happen if all third-class mail were discontinued?
Two things would happen. Your first-class rate would probably go to 15 or 20 cents, and you would have third-class mail not able to be shunted aside while first-class is being processed.
Why would first-class mail go up so much if third-class mail were discontinued?
Well, if the facts were really known, Bob, third-class mail makes a lot of money for the post office. They receive about $36 per thousand pieces mailed versus $60 a thousand for first-class pieces. But the user of third-class must pre-sort his mail and eliminate the costly sortings at the cases in the post office.
Would you distinguish for us exactly the difference between first-class direct mail and third-class direct mail?
The advertiser is willing to have his mail third-class deferred, get slower delivery, and he must pre-sort it for the post office so postal workers do not have to sort it. So he gets a discount, if you will, for that, plus a discount for deferred service.
It's claimed that the post office does not operate at a profit. Why isn't the post office making money?
For a number of reasons. Fundamentally, as an organization, it's probably wrong with its board of directors, the Congress of the United States. They tell the post office how much they're going to pay their labor and how much they're going to charge for postage. And the post office has to operate within that structure. It's unrealistic. If your first-class price is not high enough, and first-class is your greatest volume in the post office, some 45 billion pieces a year, and if that's underpriced, you're going to have trouble finding enough money to pay your 700,000 employees.
How true are the frequent accusations that the United States Post Office methods and systems and machinery are antiquated?
Well, it's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. We're operating in our major cities with installations in many cases that are 30, 40 years old. And we do need a new modernization program, but Congress, again, the Board of Directors, will not appropriate the money for modernization. And therefore, the post office simply can't modernize. And this is our dilemma.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hoke, for enlightening us on the subject of direct mail in the United States Post Office. This is Bob Montgomery for Monitor.
More about mail as the weekend wears on, and if you've got a gripe about the Postal Service, you'll probably hear it aired somewhere along the line. Now, Dionne Warwick, winner of this year's Grammy Award as Best Female Vocalist.
You see,
words of wisdom from the Oak Flooring Institute. If you're one of the thousands buying new homes this spring, here's some advice that can save you money. Ask your builder if your house has a real floor. Some houses don't these days. All they have is a rough concrete or plywood subfloor covered up by carpeting. When that carpeting wears out in a few years, you'll have the expensive choice of replacing it or putting in a real floor. If the home you plan to buy has oak floors, of course, there's nothing to worry about. Oak floors are real floors, and they'll last for the life of your home. You can leave them exposed or cover them with rugs or carpeting. In fact, decorate any way you want to. Because they don't wear out, oak floors help your home keep its resale value. Just imagine trying to sell a house with worn-out carpeting. When you're buying a home, get your money's worth. Insist on a real floor of genuine oak. You don't take a chance with oak floors. Gypsy. I didn't know gypsies got tipsy. I suppose they've got to do something in those empty stores besides tell fortunes. This is Coast to Coast Monitor, heard in southern Ohio and the tri-state area on WLW Cincinnati. Short breather now while all our NBC stations check in, then we will be back.
Hi, this is Tommy Makem of the Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makem. I'm joining Roscoe and the Now people, St. Patrick's Day, here on NBC Radio.
When a patient enters an Easter Seal Rehabilitation Center, he has the assurance that highly skilled physical therapists will use the most modern and advanced methods to rehabilitate him, to teach him to use an artificial limb, or to train him to walk with braces on both legs. He'll work with occupational therapists, too, to strengthen his weakened hands and to increase his range of motion. Maximum physical restoration is accomplished by registered occupational therapists who employ graded activities. Physical and occupational therapy are very important to the handicapped individual if he is to be saved from a life of dependency. Easter Seal therapists work long and patiently with each person, helping to work the miracles of rehabilitation. And that's your help, too, because you care enough to give to Easter Seals each year. Because of you, thousands of crippled children are taught to lead useful, productive lives.
Up and away with Joe O'Brien, weekday mornings 5 to 9 on WNBC Radio 660 New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 4:30, 43 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. A federal jury has found a New York City union leader guilty of contributing union funds to the 1965 mayoral race of Abraham Beam. The defendant is Milton Silverman, president of Teamsters Local 810 and business manager of Electrical Workers Local 1614. Silverman could get 72 years in jail plus fines. Sentencing is set for April 25th. New York City Council President Francis Smith said today, or rather urged today, that Mayor Lindsay and the Board of Education adopt a 10-point program aimed at cracking down on agitators in the school system. Smith is calling for the immediate suspension of students taking part in disorders, expulsion for those found guilty of attacks on other students and teachers, and legal action against parents who urge their children to stay home from school. Smith wants the mayor to discuss the proposal tomorrow when he meets with school supervisors. Police converged on a house in Whitestone, Queens, early this morning, arrested two men and a woman, and seized an estimated $10 million worth of narcotics. Queens District Attorney Thomas Mackle says 16 pounds of heroin and 42 pounds of cocaine were confiscated. One of six patients who received organ transplants from a single donor last month died today in New York Hospital. 19-year-old Ronald Nelson, who received a new kidney February 19th, died of complications resulting from the operation. The transplanted kidney continued to function well to the end. The other five patients are reported still doing well. Barbara Jo did it again today, the Big A. She came home winner in the first race aboard Mayberry. The payoff was 7:20, 4, and 3:40. Yesterday, Barbara Jo Rubin, 19 years old, single, attractive, and a very good jockey, won the third race at Aqueduct aboard Brave Galaxy. A Liberian freighter with 34 aboard appears to have sunk in high seas in the Gulf of Mexico. The ship sent out an SOS and rescue craft, which raced to the scene 140 miles southwest of the mouth of the Mississippi, reported sighting an oil slick. In the Atlantic, an ocean-going tugboat is missing in rough seas east of Bermuda. The tug has 20 persons aboard. Despite a warning from President Nixon, the enemy has sent 7 rockets crashing into Saigon and its environment. But they caused relatively little damage. First reports could account for only 1 wounded, a guard at a warehouse. However, authorities said some rockets struck in populated areas. 3 rockets hit a petroleum dump 5 miles from downtown Saigon. They caused a big fire, but the flames were brought under control within an hour. It's the 5th rocket attack on Saigon since the enemy offensive began. The others have killed a total of 52. Saigon had been spared from new rocket attacks for 8 days in a row until this latest assault. Only yesterday, President Nixon warned again that there would be an appropriate response for enemy shellings of Saigon and other civilian centers. American officers in Vietnam are expecting something big to happen this weekend. The moon is dark, and the enemy can move troops and launch attacks without getting the full fury of Allied firepower. Last night in Vietnam may have been a taste of things to come. The communists shelled 70 Allied towns and bases, the highest number since the start of the communist offensive, February 23rd. Russian and Chinese troops have clashed again for the 2nd time in 2 weeks over that disputed little island on the border between the two countries. Each of the giants of communism blame the other for starting the fighting with intrusions into the other's territory, and each side says the other would be crushed if intrusions continue. The new fighting occurred, as it did on March 2nd, on a bleak, frozen Ussuri River over the disputed island, which the Russians call Damansky and the Chinese call Chenpao. The weather in New York, partly sunny for the rest of the day and tomorrow as well, the highest today and tomorrow in the mid-40s. It will be fair tonight with a low around 30 degrees. Right now, it's 43 degrees and sunny in New York. And again, the top story, a federal jury has found a New York City union leader guilty of contributing union funds to the 1965 mayoral campaign of Abraham Beam. The defendant is Milton Silverman, president of Teamsters Local 810 and business manager of Electrical Workers Local 1614. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
What if tough winter brings ice and snow?
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
You won't be freezing if you spend the season with NBC.
When the moon is in a tender pound, and you eternalize with Mars, then peace will guide the planet, and love will fear the stars.
This is the dawning of the age.
Morgan here with more of Monitor 69, where we're doing a series of special reports this weekend on mail and matters connected with it, including the attitudes of mailmen toward their jobs. Here, for example, is the way postal delivery men feel about working conditions in Miami, Florida. Fred Mook reporting.
There's no such thing as a postman's heaven, but if there were, they might call it Miami. In checking around with the various post office officials and letter carriers here, I found they could muster no major complaints. And as a matter of fact, the Miami postmaster probably receives more mail from mailmen than any other mailmaster in the country. all asking for transfers to this area. What makes it all so wonderful, aside from the obvious asset of climate, is the fact that there's no climbing here. Miami doesn't have a single hill. The highest peak is the pitcher's mound at the Miami Baseball Stadium. This helps to eliminate some of the ups and downs which postmen elsewhere tend to suffer. And the customers share in the overall postal enthusiasm. What with the Miami airport being one of the busiest in the country, surface mail, the kind bearing the 6N stamp, usually goes out and arrives by air, making delivery at either end as speedy as air mail and cheaper by 4 cents. This, you know, is a tourist area, and as you might have guessed, it's the tourists who seem to complain about the mail service more than the residents. Every time there's a postal increase or some sort of change in rates, you can hear the groans from the visitors accusing the Miami Post Office of charging them tourist prices. This is Fred Mook in Miami for Monitor.
Miami may be a postman's paradise, but I've heard the mail service ain't exactly the greatest. Somebody told us it takes 3 or 4 days sometimes for mail to go between Miami and West Palm Beach. That's only 65 miles.
Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. If you think your chance for love is growing slim, you'll be all alone some night when lights are dim. Then across the crowd in your eyes see him. You'll hear a melody play, and then your heart will start saying, run, 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 run to him. Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. The melody will make you forget the pain. Lonely days and cloudy skies that brought the rain. Suddenly you'll turn and from your window pane, you'll hear a bell start ringing and a million bluebirds singing. Run, 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 run to him. Listen for the love song. Listen, now it's your song.
Interpreted by Clara Ann Fowler, better known by her professional name, Patty Page. Morgan here, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Johnny Carson. Not so long ago, it was thought that a mentally retarded child could only be taught to brush his teeth or dress himself. The National Association for Retarded Children did not agree. They adopted as their slogan, "Retarded children can be helped." Today, 1 million of the retarded are employed by private industry. Is that proof enough of their faith? The National Association for Retarded Children asks you to help your local association continue such work. Thank you.
This is Jack Hayes. All I said was, I like a radio station that gives you everything. Groovy music, late news, fun contests, and nice people. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you find the nicest people. Jack Hayes, weekdays, noon to 3.
WNBC Radio 660, New York.
Morgan here with more Monitor. Our investigation of post office operations has shown all kinds of difficulties in delivering mail. In Idaho, for instance, some of the isolated mining towns get their mail by parachute during the snowbound winter months. Things aren't quite that tough in Duluth, Minnesota, but they do have problems, as reported by Dick Daly.
The 500 Duluth postal employees seem to be doing a remarkably good job, despite some rather formidable adversities. For example, the main post office is quite antiquated, and it's been impossible to install much of the new mechanized equipment that would help speed the flow of mail. Postmaster Frank Blotnick said it's been necessary to handle mail three and four times when once would do under the proper circumstances. He'll have those proper circumstances within a year, though, when a new $3 million regional post office opens here. A problem that can't be solved quite so easily, however, is a northern winter. Exceptionally deep snows actually buried many mailboxes this year, creating extra work for Postmaster Blotnick.
No, we tried to uncover our own relay boxes so we could deposit mail for delivery to outlying sections, but the city had to assume the burden of uncovering some of the collection boxes, and because of the enormous volume of snow, they were hard-pressed to get to some of them. They had trouble just getting the streets open, let alone opening up the collection boxes.
The snows have never stayed the Duluth postman from his appointed rounds, but cold weather did a couple of years ago. Blotnick decided to call off deliveries on a day when the temperature and the wind combined for a wind chill factor of some 60 below. It was the first time in history, though, and he doesn't expect it to happen again for a good long time. The terrain, too, makes life a bit rough here for mailmen. Duluth is built on a steep hill, which must seem steeper if you're toting a heavy mail sack.
Now, Duluth terrain is notorious in that respect. I think some of our carriers now must have the attributes of a mountain goat to climb these hills. I'm firmly convinced that one leg is shorter than the other after being in service for 15 or 20 years. It is a problem to us. It creates a problem insofar as our slips, trips, and falls.
You still have a sense of humor about it, though.
You got to have it in this business, I'm afraid, Dick.
Duluth Postmaster Frank Blotnick, a man who retains his sense of humor despite some problems that are pretty much beyond his control. This is Dick Daly reporting from Duluth, Minnesota. Now back to Monitor at Radio Central.
Through the weekend, Monitor will check on mail service in other American cities and in some overseas locations, too. Music now by Robert the Goulet, the song originally recorded by Judy Collins. Both Sides Now.
Closing flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my
clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. At all.
There are only 5 more days of winter, but maybe nobody's told the weatherman. Item: heavy snow with traveler's warnings from New Mexico across northwest Texas to southwest Oklahoma, with the hardest hit area in southeastern New Mexico piling up drifts of 3 to 4 feet. Item: rain and thunderstorms across the Texas plains to the Gulf Coast. Item: snow flurries continuing across the Great Lakes region. All in all, it's a rather forgettable weekend, with one exception being a narrow band of sunshine and warmer temperatures bridging the country from west to east.
The latest insurance figures state that 1 out of every 4 Americans will be involved in an automobile accident within the next year. And more than 50,000 people will be killed. Poor visibility and bad weather will be the cause of a great percentage of these tragic accidents. Play it safe by replacing your dead wipers with fresh new Anco wiper blades or refills. Don't judge by appearance. The rubber may look okay, but the sun, wind, and oily road film dries out the best wiper blade rubber, and you have dead, streaking blades. Look for the big, bright yellow Anco windshield wiper service cabinet. They're in over 165,000 service stations across the nation, and they're stocked with the finest Anco windshield wipers, refills, and arms. The man at the pump can quick fit your car in seconds with Anco. Whether you have the hidden or regular wipers, or the kind used on foreign cars, he knows exactly what your car needs. It's a good place to buy gas, too.
Music by the group known as The Match. Love Year's coming.
A lion shall lie down beside the man-child. Still waters flow where rivers used to run wild. I can feel the love here's coming.
Corporation's Customer Car Care Program.
This is Brock Yates, Senior Editor of Car and Driver Magazine.
You know, most of the time I report on the performance of today's automobiles. But now I'd like to talk to you about a good way to keep your car performing properly. It's called Certified Car Care, all part of the Chrysler Corporation's Customer Care Program. Now, at first, customer care may sound just like a bunch of words to you, but it means a lot more. It means that every Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer cares as much about you as he does about your car. And that's saying a lot. I've seen these fellows at work, and as a real car buff, I can tell you it's a pleasure to see a bunch of pros in action. They have the know-how, the right tools, plus the kind of Chrysler or Mopar parts that today's cars demand. Today, with cars more sophisticated and complex than ever before, it's important that yours gets the finest care to keep it in showroom condition. So if you care about your car, why not take it to your local Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer? They care, too, with Customer Care by Chrysler Corporation.
Gil Hodges, manager of the New York Mets, suffered a heart attack late last summer, but he's back on the firing line now, ready to discuss a variety of baseball topics with Guy LeBeau on Monitor's Open Line.
Gil, first off, how are you feeling physically now?
Guy, I'm wonderful. I haven't felt better for many, many years.
Everybody in New York today and in the past few days has been rather excited in the talk that the Mets might get Joe Torre from Atlanta. How's Johnny Murphy doing on that?
Well, I haven't seen John today, but I do know that they had talked with Richards. Just how far it's gone, Guy, I couldn't say right now. You know, these deals can be made within 5 minutes, or it might take 2 or 3 weeks to make some.
Would that be a deal for Jerry Grody or for Eddie Cranepool? Because Torre plays first and catcher.
Gosh, I couldn't say, Guy, because I don't believe it's gone, the talking stage has gone that far to name players. If it has, I certainly don't know about it.
Gil Hodges, what about the new rules changes? The lowered mound, the narrowed strike zone, how's it been affecting practice so far?
We haven't noticed any difference whatsoever, Guy. As far as the mound is concerned, I don't believe it's going to be a problem to any of the pitchers. I don't believe it's going to help the hitters either. I think it's a psychological thing as far as the pitching standpoint. As far as the strike zone is concerned, I don't believe the strike zone has ever been changed in baseball.
Gil, do you think there'll be any improvement in all-round hitting in the major leagues this year?
Guy, we might see some. I think that the pitching is certainly dominating the game, as everyone else does. I feel that it's going to continue for a little while longer. I think we're just going through a period now that the pitching is much better than the hitting. I think within three more years, where the hitting's going to come on and get better.
Gil, where do you think the Mets will finish in their division this year?
I would hope that we'd be right up near the top, Guy, at least first division, or fighting to be in first division in our Eastern Division.
Gil, congratulations on that book you authored with Frank Slocum. It's called The Game of Baseball, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Guy, and we think it's a pretty good book, and especially for young kids.
Say, in your book, Gil, you say that sportsmanship is a word that's abused. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I don't know. There's many things taken consideration as far as that is concerned, Guy. I really believe that we have to be ourselves, and we have to consider the other people. I don't believe we consider our neighbors enough.
Thank you, Gil Hodges. Thanks for being our guest on Monitor's Open Line. This is Guy LeBeau, Monitor Sports.
On the Monitor scoreboard, Charlie Scott's basket with 1 second left gave North Carolina an 87-85 victory over Davidson in the NCAA basketball tournament's Eastern Regional Final. In the consolation game, Duquesne turned back St. John's 75-72. You don't really mean 57, do you? In exhibition baseball, Minnesota 2, Houston nothing, Pittsburgh 7, Philadelphia 3, New York Mets 5, Kansas City 3, St. Louis 3, Cincinnati 2. The United States got off to what they say is a poor start in the World Amateur Ice Hockey Championships in Stockholm. Get a load of this, what they call a poor start. Russia 17, USA 2.
Thank you.
Monitor this weekend is investigating various aspects of postal service here and abroad, and we've uncovered all sorts of facts. For instance, 100 years ago, the average American received 6 letters a year. Now, the postal patron theoretically gets 407 pieces of mail a year, and if my impression is right, that breaks down to 400 bills and 7 personal letters. News just ahead. My name is Morgan.
A vacation is not a vacation when you have to spend sleepless nights worrying how to pay for it. That's why the plan Save Now, Go Later is proving so popular with depositors at the Dime, the big savings bank for all New York. Then and only then will you enjoy a vacation with priceless peace of mind. At the Dime, money grows faster because you get the highest bank rate allowed on savings. The latest dividend at the Dime is 5% a year paid from day of deposit, compounded quarterly. Based on this rate, money doubles every 14 years at the Dime before taxes. Start saving now for a vacation next year and for the years ahead with priceless peace of mind. To open your savings account by postage-free mail at the Dime, write Savings, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Savings, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn, a member of the FDIC. The Dime's Green Acres Shopping Center office in Valley Stream is open weekdays till 9 p.m., Saturdays till 6 p.m.
The Big Wilson Show. It's man-sized. Weekdays 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 660 New York.